is a quarter after the hour on this marvelous Monday. We have a special guest joining us, and his name is Dr. Timothy Jennings. He's a practicing psychiatrist in Dalton, Georgia, and oh, wow, he's got a whole page of things that he has done and the way he ministers. Dr. Jennings, we want to welcome you to Mornings.
Thank you for having me.
Well, one reason we're having you here is October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Now, you know, you'd think that people would be aware of this by now. Why do we need a whole month dedicated to domestic violence?
Because it's still pervasive in our society, and so many people are suffering in relationships in which violence like this occurs.
Do people get in relationships and not realize that it's violent?
Yeah, actually, yes. And many, not only do they get in and not realize it's violent, but often they get into it and don't realize it's not a loving relationship. Many times they're in it, they think it's love.
Oh, that's scary. Well, what are some symptoms that people should know about?
Well, one of the principles God designed this universe to run on is a principle of liberty. And if you violate the liberties of people, three predictable consequences occur. One, love is always damaged and over time will be destroyed. Two, a desire to rebel is instilled into the heart. But the third consequence, if people don't get out when they have actually the option to, over time, individuality, ability to think and reason for oneself is destroyed, and they become what I call a shadow person. They actually look to the other person to tell them what to think, how to act, and how to behave. And people in abusive relationships slowly over time have their own unique ability, identity, individuality eroded by those relationships.
Well, so it sounds like if that happens to you, you lose this reason, then you might not even be able to recognize it in yourself.
That is absolutely correct if it goes on long enough. Now, obviously, you don't start out at that point, but if you stay in a relationship long enough, yes, you come to a point where even if you got out of that relationship where the person left you or something, you would look for somebody else to try and do that to you as well.
Are there some signs like the first time someone tries to hit you, you should call this relationship off?
Yeah, I think that's pretty reasonable. Yes, if somebody is becoming violent with you, obviously that relationship should be over until there is some evidence, not declaration. That's a big one. People in relationships will often go by their feelings and allow their feelings to lead them over their good judgment. They don't follow the truth. They don't follow the facts. They don't follow the evidence. They follow what their feelings say. And a person who is domineering and abusive can play on someone's feelings. So if you've been hit in a relationship, you need to terminate the relationship until such time that there is actual evidence to demonstrate the person who used to hit you has actually changed sufficiently that they would rather die than hit you again.
You know, one of the cases that's been in the news that comes to mind is the wife of the minister in Tennessee that apparently, you know, her defense lawyers argued that she was abused. I mean, this happens even in churches. And then she got a gun out and shot her husband in the back.
Yes, actually, it happens many times in churches. I have many patients who are either children or spouses of elders, deacons, or pastors, and they not only have the pressure of being dominated, controlled, and abused, but the society that they're operating within, everybody looks up to the abuser as the holy, righteous representative of God, and it's double pressure for them, and they often then internalize very distorted images of God and become angry at Him.
Dr. Jennings, this is Scott Miller. Good morning. We appreciate you joining us this morning. Question for you, when you talk about domestic violence, talk about the verbal abuse, because I know domestic violence is far greater than just physical abuse.
That's a great point. That is a great point. Yes, verbal abuse is also destroying for those, especially in a vulnerable position. For instance, children and young people obviously be more vulnerable than an adult to verbal abuse because they don't have the ability to reason through and recognize what Christ said. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Somebody's verbal abuse reveals the problems in their own heart, not the heart of the person who's being attacked by that verbal abuse. And so if we fail to remember those truths, and of course children don't have the ability to realize those truths yet, then we internalize the abuse as if it's true about us. Just imagine quickly seeing a 40-year-old man screaming and hollering and cursing at a 5-year-old little girl. You don't look at that situation and go, what a horrible 5-year-old little girl. You recognize that the man has got serious problems, but the little girl will walk away feeling as if she is the horriblest little person in the world. Many adults actually fail to recognize that same truth. When they're in a situation being mistreated by someone, they will often fail to recognize that the other person is revealing what's in their own heart and instead will walk away feeling as if there's something wrong with themselves.
Advice for someone who pulls over at a truck stop and they witness some verbal abuse, maybe even physical abuse taking place. Our tendency in society seems to be, it's not my problem, let me get back in my truck and go down the road. What would you suggest they do?
Well, if it's physical abuse, obviously, then you can get some law enforcement involved if it's physical abuse going on. If it's verbal abuse, actually, and it's strangers that you don't know, and it's just somebody shouting, if it's not to a child, you know, if it's to another adult, there's very little you can do if it's like a marriage partnership and one husband is screaming at the wife or the wife is screaming at the husband and it's just verbal abuse. Oftentimes, getting involved in a situation like that can put yourself in danger because you know, the reality is people who don't recognize they need help or want help will reject help if it's offered.
Hey, you brought up one point there. You said whether it's the husband yelling at the wife or the wife yelling at the husband. What do you see? Is it common? I mean, we think domestic violence, we always think about the male partner being the aggressor. Is a female partner the aggressor as well?
Absolutely. Now, it's still more common for men to be violent to women, but actually in the last decade, the amount of women hitting on men has actually increased. So there is women are becoming somewhat more violent in our society towards their spouses or significant others than has been traditional in the past.
Dr. Tim Jennings, if we suspect that there might be something going on, maybe among somebody at our church, what should we do then?
Now, that's a great question. I think if somebody's a member of your church, that gives you an inroad, an option. I think the biblical guidance would be best. First, go to the person you're concerned with one-on-one in a Christian loving attitude, reaching out with a redemptive heart to try and to intervene, to bring healing. If you believe that the problem is still going on and there is a rejection of your entreaties to help, then obviously go to your pastor or some other leadership, bring two or three together and bring that discussion forward and follow that guidance. I think if you're in that environment, it gives a much greater opportunity to bring healing.
Can churches do something sort of corporately, like have a domestic violence ministry?
Absolutely. They can do seminars, but they can also set up counseling centers within their own church and programs for the people that are struggling with these types of things. Ultimately, the reason this happens, it's based on internal personal fear and insecurity as well as selfishness running in the heart rather than experiencing that true transforming grace of God, which we come to love others more than ourselves. And when we love ourselves more and we're afraid that we're not going to get our own needs, our own desires met, then when somebody crosses our own wishes, we will lash out in anger towards them. And so ultimately, yes, the church is a wonderful place to try to bring healing as they bring the true principles of Christ into the heart.
You are the author of Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. Tell us about that book.
Yeah, this book is actually written for lay people, and it's really designed to help them understand, in very simple terms, God's plan for healing and restoring our mind back to His original ideal, with the premise that we were designed, we didn't evolve, and that when sin occurred, the faculties of our mind and the functioning of our mind was damaged, and God has principles that He wants us to intelligently cooperate with Him to apply that will bring healing to our lives. I mentioned one of them a moment ago, the Law of Liberty, and I expound on that as well as other principles like that in the book.
23 minutes past the hour, you're listening to FamilyNet Radio on Sirius 161. We're talking with Dr. Jennings. What can I do, what can a listener do if perhaps they have a personal interest in this? How can they get involved? You talk about this being Awareness Month. What can they do? How can they get active or do something to get the community aware?
Yeah, you know, I guess it would depend on their local community and the options available in their local community. I think working with your local organizations, like your church groups, going to your pastor, saying, "Hey, can we do a seminar here in our town? Can we bring somebody in, a speaker that can teach us about the signs, the warning signs, or bring some treatment programs to bear that would help those struggling in our community?" I think those are great places to reach out and try and help, because all too often this really does go by unrecognized.
And Dr. Jennings, you would be such a speaker. I want to give everybody your website. It's www.comeandreason.com. Why is this a soapbox issue for you?
Because I think one of the things that has happened since the fall is that we have lost our ability to truly love others as ourselves, and we're willing to take and exploit and take advantage of others to meet our own needs. And I don't believe it is possible for us to actually experience healing of mind until we've had that experience where we're willing to love others more than we actually love ourselves.
Great, great. Well, we got just a couple of minutes left. Is there anything else you'd like to let our listeners know about your book or about Domestic Violence Awareness Month?
Actually, I was going to mention about one of the things that leads people into relationships where they allow themselves to be abused is when they accept a counterfeit to genuine love, and that counterfeit is dependency relationships. And dependency relationships are relationships that are based on fear rather than self-sacrificing love. Genuine love is interested in the health, welfare, and beneficence of another person, where you want to give of yourself to help build that person's life up. But dependency relationships are based on your personal needs and trying to get your own needs met. And one of the telltale signs of a dependency relationship is when that relationship is motivated by fear rather than love. And I don't mean fear of necessarily getting physically hit, but fear of abandonment, fear of rejection, fear of what they're going to think of you, fear of what the response is going to be when you walk through the door if you didn't do what they wanted today. So if there's lots of fear in the heart, fear in the relationship, then this is a sign that love is missing in the relationship. As Christ or the Bible teaches in 1 John, perfect love casts out fear. So as we come to actually love others more than ourselves, the fear in the relationship goes down, down, down. And fear is one of the main reasons why people act out and hurt others.
You know, I think so many people say, I'd never get in a relationship like that. And then before they know it, they're sucked into a relationship like that.
There's no question about it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, where can we get your book?
My book is available at Amazon.com. You can go into any bookstore and ask for it, and they can order it for you. Or you can get it off our website, comeandreason.com.
Well, Dr. Timothy Jennings, thank you so much for making us more aware of the signs and symptoms of domestic violence and what to look for in relationships. We really appreciate your expertise and your ministry.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. The book is Could It Be This Simple? Scott, have you ever known anybody that was in a relationship like that?
I have, unfortunately. And, you know, it's one of those things that when they first get into a relationship, everything seems to be nice. There seems to be sort of that infatuation with each other. And then as they get to know each other, the signs start to come out. And it is unfortunate because a lot of times you cannot tell when you first meet somebody and get in a relationship that they have those tendencies until you really get in the relationship. So I think that's why it's good to always court before you get married.
That's a good idea. I've had some girlfriends that just wanted to be in a relationship so bad they would put up with anything.
Wow.
And hey, you know, that's where we need to get into the value. You are valued because you're a child of God. You
yes.
are worthy. You don't have to settle for anything.
If you need to be dependent, depend upon Christ.
I love that, Scott. That's
yeah.
so wise.